Absolutely. Getting ready for the cold of Denver. They're expecting snow on the ground at Mile High on Sunday. So a new experience for the Rams.
Yeah, and how much will that affect the Rams?
Well, they're saying not much. They're prepared as much as you can be prepared for it, being a Southern California team. Sean McVay said, you know, there's not much we can do unless you want to rent out an ice rink and try to simulate the cold. But they're just going to have to bear with it. I think they're built pretty well to deal with it. They're, you know, for as much as they throw the ball, they're still a run-first type of a team with Todd Gurley. So I would expect them to feed him early on, get that part of the game going, and then move on to the pass game, which, as we've seen, is pretty lethal.
All right, so where are the Rams now physically, injury-wise, everybody healthy?
Well, they're keeping their fingers crossed. It looks like Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks, who suffered concussions on Sunday against the Seahawks, should be back on Sunday, as long as everything checks out today. That's the hope and that's the expectation. If that's the case and they're relatively healthy going into the game, obviously they're still without Aqib Talib, one of their starting quarterbacks. He's not going to be back until the Denver game in about 6-7 more weeks or so. But other than that, they're pretty healthy, and they're looking forward to this challenge. They, you know, got pushed by the Seahawks on Sunday. They didn't feel real good about it, especially defensively. And as Aaron Donald told us this week, they're itching to get back on the field and put together a four-quarter performance defensively.
Vinny Bonsignor, our Rams insider with us. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570 LA Sports. You're speaking about what Aaron Donald said. And Ndamukong Suh said yesterday that the Rams' run defense is just terrible.
Yeah, it was pretty bad on Sunday, and the one thing that is really frustrating for them is they don't feel. I mean, as much as they want to tip their cap to the Seahawks and give them credit, they had a good game plan put together. But when they looked at the film, and they knew this as it was happening, it was more about what the Rams were doing than what the Seahawks were doing to them. They were getting a little too aggressive, taking themselves out of plays. You just can't do that. You have to be disciplined. You have to be assignment-oriented. And once they started doing that, which was in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter, they locked down and shut the Seahawks down. And so that's what's frustrating is, like, they feel we can do this. We just have to actually do it. They got together in the third quarter, had a little bit of a defensive team meeting, and it got pretty blunt and pretty honest. Guys got in each other's face, and it was well-received. And from that point on, they shut the Seahawks down.
Yeah, but I think in that game, and I'm wondering if Denver will take the same approach, basically Seattle came out and just said, we're going to punch you in the mouth. It was the most physical game the Rams have played this year.
Yeah, and credit the Seahawks rebuilt that offensive line. It's much more physical and athletic than it was last year. And I'm sure that that's what the Broncos are going to do. They are a run team. They had some success doing it last week. But I think that the Seahawks got the Rams' attention in that regard. And just by the tone of their talk this week, I don't think that they're going to let that happen to them. Now, it could happen. Obviously, it could happen. But they're on high alert that it's time to lock down on the run game from the first quarter on.
And when you look at Denver, Vinny, they seem to me, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, kind of like a middle of the road to a notch below squad. I mean, they're not superb. They're not great.
They're floundering. You know, they come into this game losing three straight. You know, in a lot of ways, much like the Seahawks were last week, the Broncos are a desperate team. The difference is, I think the Seahawks were a desperate team that had some talent. I think Pete Carroll is doing a really good job getting that team back in order. Whereas the Broncos, I'm not so sure about that. There's something going on, you know, in that organization with that team. I'm not sure the coach, Vance Joseph, has a whole lot of confidence left in that locker room. And they're playing like it. So I think that that's something that the Rams are going to take advantage of. Unless they completely shoot themselves in the foot, I think this should be a relatively easy win for the Rams.
All right, Vinny. Well, thanks for jumping on. Fly safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, and go Dodgers.
Chargers are also on the road this weekend. They're in Cleveland taking on the Browns. Let's bring on the host of the pregame show, which you can hear on KFI AM 640, Chris and Carlo. Chris, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, of course, guys.
All right, let's start with the story about Melvin Gordon. Now, is that fact or fiction where Melvin indicated, I like San Diego a lot more than L.A.?
Yeah, you know, so immediately after that story was published, he tweeted a response saying that he was talking about specifically Orange County, not talking about L.A., which, you know, I don't know how much you want to read into that. I think we can all agree that stretch of the 405 between, like, Costa Mesa and the football stadium, I mean, it's kind of a pre-apocalyptic version of Cormac McCarthy's The Road. It's just, you never want to be stuck on that stretch of road, and everybody hates everything about life when they're stuck on that stretch of road. And, you know, you got a guy who's sitting with him shotgun, kind of following him around throughout the day. And he has what could be just an offhand comment while he's stuck in traffic on a Sunday morning. Or he could really feel about it, you know. And you look at a guy like Melvin Gordon. I mean, he went to school at Wisconsin, right? He's from Kenosha. He is, I don't want to say a small town guy, but like, that's the sort of guy that maybe is a bit more comfortable in a city that's not a sprawling, massive metropolis like Los Angeles compared with, say, San Diego. So I can see where he's coming from, but I've never got a sense that he dislikes it here. I've never really had any players say, oh, you know what, I really don't like it in Los Angeles or Orange County compared to San Diego. There are murmurs in the background, but for the most part, these guys love living in Southern California one way or the other.
Let me get this straight. How long has he been playing in the league?
Melvin Gordon?
Yeah.
What, three seasons,
yeah,
four
exactly,
seasons?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I saw you try to sugarcoat that a little bit, but come on. Is he going to the Odell Beckham Jr. school of how what to say and what not to say? You don't say that. Come on. You're better than that. You're not a rookie coming out of nowhere. You understand that. This is your fan base. This is you're not going back to San Diego. You're going to be here for a while. You got to accept it. You got to embrace it. I mean, I think that is, you know, when you look at the other side, the Rams are embracing L.A., everything about L.A., and you got a guy talking about he doesn't like L.A., he wants to go back to San Diego.
Yeah, I think that is something he definitely shouldn't have said. I'm sure the communication staff and coaching staff has said, listen, let's pipe that down. And that's probably part of the tweet, which I don't really think helped the matter much, you know, by essentially spiting your nose to save your face there. Because, oh, yeah, hey, I like L.A., but I don't like Orange County. That's going to go well with the practice facility.
Chris Ancarlo with us on AM 570 L.A. Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet. All right, he might not like L.A. How will he like Cleveland? What about the Charger defense heading into this game?
Well, the Chargers defense is picking up steam. This is good news. They got Corey Leger back last week. That helps on the interior of the line, and we saw the results of that. I mean, the Raiders are god-awful, but still, you saw the pressure that they were able to mount. And you've seen guys who have been playing without Corey Leger, and of course, Joey Bosa is still injured. And they've been stepping up, guys like Damian Square and also Darius Filon. I had a chance to chat with Darius Filon a little bit earlier this week, and I just kind of asked him, you know, what it's like that they've had to deal with this adversity of not having those guys, if it's making them maybe better for a stretch run here.
I mean, that's always the case. I mean, once you get all your guys back, all your weapons, yeah, that plays a part of how we stick together as a unit and what we need to do, how we need to go about the assignments and schemes. And basically, with those guys coming back and returning, I mean, it's always a help because now you can play more, a little bit faster than what you do before when them guys are down.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. That's you get a guy like Leger back, and he was suspended, so he wasn't practicing with the team. He wasn't practicing with the team, and so because he's not practicing with the team, you know, he still has to mesh back with everything. And then you have Joey Bosa coming back, hopefully after the bye week. And then on top of that, maybe getting Hunter Henry back. That's like getting three first and second round picks coming back midseason, which is amazing.
Yeah, and to that end, Chris, I mean, they got to feel good. And I was talking about this early in the week. You know, as bad as it started off against the, you know, with the loss of Kansas City, we're seeing how good Kansas City actually is. Their only two losses are to the Rams and Kansas City, two undefeated teams. So with the injuries and not being at full strength, inside, they got to feel pretty good about where they are and where they're going when they get everybody back.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially this offense. This is one of the top offenses in the league through these first games. And, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, you're arguably playing the two best teams in the NFL right now in Kansas City and L.A. And if those are your two losses, celebration to you. And going up against an amazing defense that, you know, we see cross town with a lot of Rams. Philip Rivers has had this groove. I mean, he's been locked in now for the last two seasons. I had this this great stat, and I was trying to pull it up for you guys before I got on, but just talking about the efficiency of Philip Rivers over the winning streak. So after they went 0-4 last year, and they had that 9 wins of 12 games to end last season, moving into this season, I mean, Philip Rivers has just been locked in, and the offense is revolving around just his ability to find whatever is in front of him. He's not forcing passes for the most part. You know, if he gets a guy that he can dink and dunk low, he will. He's empowering guys like Austin Ekeler, putting his trust and his faith in him. He's empowering guys who don't need to be empowered, like Keenan Allen, who has had just an amazing stretch. He's now up to 57 straight games with a multi-catch game, and he seems to always be there. Mike Williams just dominating on third down and in goal situations. And then, of course, Melvin Gordon, who suddenly is a pass-catching threat on top of just an incredibly strong runner. So things are building in a positive direction. You get Hunter Henry back perhaps later in the season. Man, this offense just looks all the more dynamic. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you get guys who are fresh and as dominant as, say, Joey Bosa and hopefully Corey Leggett coming up here in a couple of weeks as he gets back up to speed. And I'm excited for what this defense is going to be able to do.
All right, Chris. Chris hosts the Charger pre- and post-game shows. Chargers in Cleveland to play the Browns on Sunday. You can hear the game on our sister station, KFI AM 640. The pre-game show starts at 8. Chris, thanks so much.
Anytime, guys.